turn to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. It's up on the board there, on the monitor. 1 Peter chapter 3. And 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse 8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Isn't it kind of odd that we've taken that word pitiful and made it something to be despised? That's just pitiful. But in its original usage, it meant you be full of pity toward others. Well, the devil just likes to take good things and try to destroy them the best he can. And he says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, Father, thank you for the Word of God, and I just pray you'd bless the reading of it to our hearts. And Lord, just help me to just spend a little time here, and I hope to encourage and challenge. And Lord, I just pray you'd work in the hearts of your people. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I just want to ask you a question. How many of you can say that I have suffered in this life? I mean, lift your hand. If you say I've suffered in this life. I mean, think about it. I can say that. I mean, I've suffered things from other people. I've been lied about. And lied to. I've suffered abuses of people. I could go down the list, and we all suffer. And then we have folks in the church that are suffering from diseases now. And you know, we. There's a universal constant, it seems, in this life, is that we're going to suffer. Some of us are still, you know, we may try to suffer in silence, but some of us, we may have deep, dark secrets from childhood or from other times like that where we've suffered. You know, as children, many times we suffer at the hands of adults. I remember Brother Perkins telling us about a story when they were out going churches to churches, doing the neighborhood Bible time or whatever it was he was doing back then. I remember him talking about coming in there and seeing a boy right up at the front, a young man up at the front, and just a mangled body, right? And the boy was there, and that little boy asked them. He said, "Do you know for sure you're going to heaven?" And they said, "Well, yes, I do." He said, "You better be sure, because if you're not sure, you're not going to get to see my new body." And he had a wonderful testimony, a young man, but I mean, just horribly disfigured. And so they began to ask around, asking about the boy. They didn't want to ask him directly, but come to find out that the boy was, when he was an infant, when he was a baby, his mama was working, and his daddy and his buddies were all liquored up and doped up or whatever, And he was sitting there, and she was working, and they were there, supposed to be taking care of the boy, and he was crying and everything like that. And so they just, in their drunken thing, they just laughingly were throwing the little baby back and forth around, you know, from person to person. And finally, you know, he was dropped several times and everything like that. And they just, I mean, that's wicked, isn't it? And you think of that little boy suffering all that, just, and not because he did anything wrong, but simply because some people got liquored up. And boy, there's been a lot of suffering from dope and liquor. I mean, I could go down the line of all the different things that that can come of that. I've seen that in my own life. People say to me, and I'll be honest with you, I don't understand why anybody would endorse liquor of any kind. You know, I've heard some people say, well, I know, heard this one preacher say, I know that many people, many Christians have convictions about alcohol. I don't know why every Christian doesn't have a conviction about alcohol. It's wicked. And drinking it for recreation is just about as wicked as you can get. And, you know, it's funny that you don't hear a lot of preaching on drunkenness anymore, do you? But drunkenness is a sin. I don't care how you get drunk, it's a sin. And the idea of doing that, and so when we look at that and we see the damage that it's done, the ruined lives and everything, but, you know, there's no getting over it. People have suffered because of liquor. You know, they've got, even the world recognizes it. Or they mothers against drunk driving. I don't know why they don't just say mothers against drunkenness. The funny thing, most hypocritical thing is the so-called mothers against drunk driving, a lot of them go out and get liquored up themselves. And they might have a pious idea that, well, I don't drive when I'm drunk, so I'm better than everybody else. But, you know, if you're a drunkard, you're a drunkard. It's just that simple. And you're going to give an account to God for it. It's a sin. There's no drunkards in heaven. And I could spend a lot of time, but what I'm just simply saying, there's been a lot of things where people have suffered. You know, people that hadn't even drank a drop have suffered because of liquor, hadn't they? We just, case in point, we got the drunk drivers and the people that have been maimed or lives lost and families mourning and grieving because of a drunk driver. And then you go through through just growing up and just the meanness of people. There's a lot of suffering in this world. There's a lot of suffering. And you know, all of us, not only have we all suffered, but we've all caused suffering for somebody. We've all caused people to suffer in some ways. And some of us probably more than others, there's no denying that, but still, other people have suffered because of you. You say, well, nobody suffered because of me. Well, sure they have. Sure they have. When you were a kid in school, you made the choice sometime to be popular and you wanted somebody's approval, so you mistreated somebody just to fit in. And somebody suffered because of it. And granted, that may not be some great, terrible tragedy, and it may be just a common thing, but still suffering, isn't it? We look at the things that go on and we look at our politicians and how many people have just suffered from their indifference and their wickedness. I mean, you look at the border. You know, we're still crying about slavery in the United States and everything. And we've got it going on right at the southern border. You know, the cartels are enslaving people and selling them into prostitution and everything else and sex trafficking and all this type of stuff. That's nothing but slavery, isn't it? No, but we won't do anything about that. We're virtuous. We have to renounce our past and everything. Well, I'd be happy if we just go ahead and call the past and let's renounce the present. That'd be a good thing, don't you think? Stop feeding the cartels money. Stop destroying people's lives. People suffer. There's suffering in this world. There's no way. Matter of fact, you know, in Romans it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." You know, and praise the Lord, there's going to be an end to suffering. For those who've trusted Christ as their Savior, there will be an end of suffering. For those who reject Christ, you've got all eternity to suffer. But focusing on the present, focusing on the here and now, we live in a world that's full of suffering. And much of that suffering comes at the hands of others. It comes at the hands of circumstances that we cannot control. When the hurricanes hit, we're fixing to hit hurricane season again, right? And when Katrina came, especially that was one in most recent memory, I could go back in my time of hurricanes that came through in my hometown in 1961, Hurricane Carla, in 67, Hurricane Beulah, and many since then. And then you can go back in this time, you know, in Mississippi, Camille is one that people do, and of course Katrina. And everybody who's here today that was in South Mississippi suffered because of Katrina. And there were folks in New Orleans who suffered not so much from the storm, but from the wickedness of people who, when they took all the money that should have went to build up the levees and keep the levees in good repair, they didn't use that money for it. And the levee broke, and the city got flooded, and people were damaged. And the mayor over there didn't try to evacuate anything. Had all these city buses; they all went underwater. He could have been evacuating people, but they hemmed and hawed. And most of the damage that came from in New Orleans wasn't due to wind, and it wasn't due to a storm surge so much as it was due to the fact that they didn't do what they were promised to do with the money that they were given. So they suffered because of men. And then you go on down there, and folks in particularly in the western half of Mississippi, but the entire Mississippi Gulf Coast, we all suffered. We had to do without power and water and all those things like that, and we had to live on generators and heat of summer and all those type of things like that that we had to do in August. And so we understand what it's like to suffer when, just because of a circumstance. I mean, Sister Pat's still mad that it came on her birthday. She's upset about it. But I'm just playing. But the simple fact is, you know, this world, there's a lot of suffering. Would you agree? And we suffer because of our own foolishness sometimes, and we suffer because of other people's foolishness. We suffer because of other people's ill intent. We suffer because of circumstances that are beyond our control. Look at all the suffering that came from the wickedness of men at 9/11. And we could go, we got a long history of things where people suffered, wars and all the type of things that we do this. And so there's suffering in the world. There's no way around it. You know, and of course the world's attitude is, we don't want to change, we just want to blame it on God. It's all God's fault. You know, if God loved us, there'd be no suffering. And they ignore the fact that God commands everybody to repent and has promised a place of no suffering. But to get rid of suffering, he's got to get rid of the primary cause of suffering, which is sin. And to get rid of sin, he's got to get rid of sinners. And there's only two ways for God to get rid of sinners. It's either redemption or judgment. And if you reject redemption, then all judgment's all that's left. And that's just the reality of it. But we see in our text, and I think you're probably wondering when I was going to get there. We see in our text, it says in verse 14, "But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." If you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Now, none of us are predisposed to be happy about suffering. But the simple fact is, suffering for righteousness' sake is a choice you get to make. It is a liberty that we know we're going to suffer one way or another, but we can suffer in a way, as a Christian, we can suffer in a way that not only brings honor and glory to God, but has eternal reward attached to it. In other words, you don't suffer in vain. All the other types of suffering that we've talked about in the sense of just the general idea of suffering, we suffer in vain. It doesn't amount to a hill of beans in the final analysis. And man knows that. That's why man is so hard-hearted about things, about suffering. It's just the way things are. It's just, it's somebody else's fault. It's not fair. And I'll go on down the line. But we get callous, and but most of all, we get callous toward God when suffering comes. But sadly, a lot of times, believers, we follow that worldly pattern. But you know what? Let me ask you a question. If it's an established fact that there's going to be suffering in this world, and you and I could choose a way of suffering that we would benefit from in the long run, throughout eternity, versus just suffering in this world and then we're done, which one would you choose? Which one makes sense? See, I'm just trying to reason with you today. We've been talking a lot in the Sunday school. Brother Vic, when he was here, he was talking about being a testimony. He was talking about his salvation testimony and all that. He was talking about our conversation and the way we live. And then we talked about the being fearful and the morning preaching. And we talked about all of that. And as we go through this whole thought process on suffering, a lot of times we're afraid to be a good witness for Christ because we're afraid of suffering. And yet that's the only suffering that's going to make a difference. I told you the we've been praying for Misty, and I told you the good testimony of how she's improved and she's up and she's being a witness and she's praying for folks and all that type of stuff. You see, she is taking the suffering that she's dealing with the cancer, and she's being a testimony, and she's making good use of that suffering by choosing to suffer for righteousness' sake. Yeah. I mean, isn't it the people that have suffered great things for God and everything? Those are the people we look up to. Isn't that the people we look up to? We look up to those folks, don't we? We look at them and we say, "Man, wish I could be like them." But the truth is, you can be. If we just be willing to witness and willing to tell people about Jesus and willing to stand with our Savior on everything. I mean, the Bible says, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." We're going to suffer. But But we get to choose that. We get to choose to deal with suffering in a manner that brings eternal reward. That in this short ...70, 80, 90, even 100 years... we have on this earth, and all those years filled with suffering of one sort or another, we can have, if we suffer for righteousness' sake, we can be happy. It can add to our happiness, because we know in ourselves that we have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. We have something that's better, as it said over in Hebrews. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 with me real quick. And Hebrews chapter 11, we've got that great hall of faith, like people like to call it. And the people, it says this, that it talks about the things that Jacob suffered, Isaac, Noah. We'll go down there. But... it says something interesting here. Let me see if I can find the passage I'm looking for. It says here in verse... let's go to verse 35. He says, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. In other words, they had a chance that they could have backed up on their testimony some, but they said, no, we're not going to accept deliverance. Well, I'm not going to get delivered by denying my Lord. I'm not going to do that. I want to make sure I have a good resurrection, a better resurrection. I want the best resurrection I can get. When I'm with the Lord, I want it to be the blessed time. And we look at our life, and what is your life? It's just a vapor. I mean, we're like the grass. We're here today, the sun rises, and boom, we're gone. And we look at our time here, and it seems so slow and seems so long, but it's funny how it gets faster the older you get, right? But we live our lives and we suffer, and there's no escaping it. But through Christ, we can turn suffering into something that's of eternal value. And not just for ourselves, but for others too, isn't it? Because we were just talking about that today, weren't we? We were talking about being a witness. We were talking about not being afraid and other people not seeing fear. And I've seen some wonderful people. And you know, I made up my mind a long time ago that whatever God has for me, I want to face it as a Christian. I want to face it as somebody. And if I have to suffer, I want to suffer for righteousness' sake. If I'm going to have people talk bad about me, I want them to talk bad about me because I'm following Jesus. If I'm going to have to go through something, I want people to see the faith that I have as I go through that. I want them to see that. You and I, we have a great privilege as believers that we can meet any type of suffering and turn it into something that has eternal value by suffering for righteousness' sake. If things go bad and life goes crazy, and you and I say, well, I don't care what happens. I'm going to be like Brother Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm not going to murmur. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to give glory to God. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to tell people what great things God has done for me. No wonder he says in our text that we were looking at, But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. I look in the scriptures, and we can look at Hebrews chapter 11, or we can go to the book of Acts, right? I mean, James and John, the other disciples, Peter and James, John and James and all the other disciples, they went up and they were told not to preach in Jesus' name. They were threatened, and when they didn't quit preaching, then they took them and beat them. And said they went from the council's presence rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They were counted worthy to suffer. Now some of us, in comparison to others, our suffering is going to be very small. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's small, irritating suffering, or it's a big catastrophic suffering. Same God. Sometimes it's not the big things we suffer that get us in trouble. It's the little things. It's the little irritations that cause us to lose our testimony, right? And say something untoward or unkind. We don't set our mind as like, I don't care what kind of suffering it is, I'm going to suffer for righteousness' sake. I'm going to do this thing the right way. If I suffer, so be it. But it's not going to be a time where people are going to look at me and say, well, he says he's a Christian, but he's a hypocrite. He says he believes in this great God, but just the smallest little thing rattles him up. I don't want that, do you? So then the point becomes, do you suffer for righteousness' sake? Had a preacher give a story about a missionary who might have been in Bangladesh or somewhere over there. You go in that area around India, Bangladesh, all that stuff, they have tigers over there. And he talked about a missionary who was walking through the jungle, and he looked up and he saw a tiger off to the side there, and that tiger was stalking him, and he's like, there's no way he could outrun it, and these tigers are huge. They're the biggest predatory cat on the planet. You know, a lion can be over 500 pounds. A tiger's bigger than that, right? And they're huge, and they're fast, and they're stealthy, and he's sitting there, and he sees the tiger, and the tiger's eyeing him, and tigers are one of the things you always hear about tigers is they're not afraid of man at all. They're man. They talk about them being man eaters, and people die over in that country from tiger attacks yearly. And so he's sitting there, and he didn't know what to do. He said, "I can't run. I can't do anything." So he knew he had no hope. He didn't have a tree or anything to climb, but tigers can climb trees, right? Tigers can swim. So he was there, and he said, all I can do is, he just got on his knees and started praying. He just closed his eyes waiting for it to come. And after a few moments, nothing happened. He looked up, tiger was gone. He got up, went his way, never saw the tiger. Went his way praising the Lord because God delivered him from the tiger. And he should have praised the Lord. But later that week, the same missionary was getting ready for bed. And he got himself in bed. He got his mosquito netting and everything in there all put in place. And he was laying down. And he kept hearing a mosquito. And he checked around. He couldn't find a mosquito in his netting, but he kept hearing the mosquito. And it was driving him crazy because he kept hearing this mosquito. And of course, he was worried about malaria and all the different diseases, dengue fever and all the different diseases they might have over in that area. And he was worried about that. And you know, he'd get up and look. He couldn't find a mosquito in his netting, but he just, every time he'd turn out the light, he'd hear a mosquito. And it just was driving him to distraction, and he couldn't sleep. And he began to pray about it, which was a good thing. He did the right thing. But he said while he was praying, The thought came to him. He said, I can trust God with a tiger, but I can't trust him with a mosquito. And he apologized to the Lord and went to sleep. And of course, the Bible says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Little big tiger would be big. Getting mauled by a tiger, that's what we call some serious suffering. Getting bit by a skeeter or just harassed by a skeeter, that's not much, is it? I mean, we live in South Mississippi. I grew up in South Texas. Getting mauled by mosquitoes is a common occurrence. But you know, that's the thing about it is sometimes it's not the big things. It's the little things that get us in trouble because we're not willing to suffer for righteousness' sake. But we ought to make up our mind that regardless of how we suffer, we're going to do it for righteousness' sake. I'm going to meet everything with the right heart attitude. I'm going to put everything into the hands of God. I'm not going to shut up and stop talking about the goodness of God in my life and how He saved me. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell people what Jesus did for me. And I'm not going to let some little thing get me in such a lather that I'm going to just blow my testimony. You see, suffering is something we're going to have to deal with in this world. There's no way to get around it. For some of us, it'll be more. For some of us, it'll be less. But everybody will be touched by it, right? So why not make it worth something? Why not make the suffering of this world worth something? I don't know what's coming tomorrow. Could be tragedy. But how do we meet it? Do we meet it in a godly Christian manner? Do we pray? Do we stay faithful to God? Do we walk with God? Do we yield when we get up and we begin to hurt and the pain comes? Do we yield ourselves to the Spirit and not the flesh and say, I'm going to continue doing what I'm supposed to do? You know, a lot of people are not in church today because they suffered something. Somebody in a church did them wrong when they quit on everybody. Used to have a gospel tract. I don't know who put it out. But the gospel tract that said, did you quit eating because your mama burned the biscuits one time? No. You'd say that'd be silly. Well, it's silly for us to quit on God because of what people do. It's foolish. What would the world think about a bunch of people that suffered and still were happy? And we're talking about what they had to look forward to. No, every year it's election year. They're going to be, both parties going to be blaming the other about Social Security's going away, right? If you elect them, Social Security's going to be gone. Social Security's already gone. They're going to spend every penny plus. Every time they spend money on Social Security, they're spending extra money that already, you know, because they've already blown everything else. Social Security's been gone a long time ago. But I'm glad I don't have Social Security. I have eternal security. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm saved. So if they take it away, then I'll just have to depend on God to take care of me, right? amazing thing about our faith that we can still go through suffering and still be happy. Have something to look forward to. Is that the type of Christian faith you have? If not, then you got a heap of learning to do. If not, maybe we need to examine yourself whether you be in the faith. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be terrified, neither be troubled. Don't be afraid of people. Don't be afraid of the trouble that comes. Let me take you to close out today. Let me take you to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, if you were to use proper exegesis, like the theologians used to say, you would come to the conclusion that that wasn't talking about us, that was talking about Jesus. But if you'll use some more proper exegesis, you'll find out that the believer is in Christ. And so if you're saved, you're in Christ. If you're dead and your life is hid in Christ with God. We're seated with Him in heavenly places. In Him in heavenly places. So we are in Christ. We're supposed to be in Christ. And therefore, these promises transfer to us by virtue of our Savior. That tells me a fella there that's going to see a lot of grief, but at the end he comes out looking good, Brother Larry. He comes out with something to look forward to. And beloved, I just want to say, we've got a lot of suffering ahead. That's certainly a possibility, and we don't know what it's going to be. It could be small. It could be large. It could be huge. It could be minor. It could be catastrophic. It could be an irritant or it could be life-threatening. But as we live in this life and as we suffer, just as when we look at people that pass away from this world, we don't have to sorrow as those who have no hope. If you're going to suffer, might as well get something from it, right? I'm just using good old folksy common sense. If you're going to suffer, you ought to, even the lost folks have that idea, don't they? Jesus said the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. I don't know how many times I've seen people and people I've been with, and I've even said it myself. It's like, oh well, I'm going to get in trouble. I might as well just go ahead all the way and enjoy it while I can, right? Anybody ever heard that said before? Maybe you're the one that said it. Well, might as well. I mean, why don't we have enough sense to think heavenly thoughts that way? You know, I'm just going to meet this thing serving the Lord, and I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to keep doing right, and I'm going to tell everybody I can about Jesus. Because I know that this isn't in vain. I got something to be happy about, even when I'm suffering. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I just pray you'd bless each one. Help us to understand the truth of your Word. Lord, we may deal with suffering, but we don't have to deal with it the way the world does. We don't have to be in despair. We don't have to be without hope. We can actually be happy in the Lord. So Lord, help us to learn to do that. Lord, there's no way to get around it. We live in the same world as the unbeliever. And there's so many things out of our control. But Lord, help us to respond in faith. Help us to just believe your word and trust you and serve you faithfully, regardless of what we may suffer. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.